Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
Thank you very much to our awesome music crowd this morning. How lovely to have that. And good morning to you. Our affirmation for this month is, won't you read it with me? I advocate for freedom of thought. And today's topic is living in choice. And the theme for the month is creativity. Now, when I put those words together, freedom, choice, creativity, I often think of consequences. The consequences of our choices, but not in a scary way, you know, like not in a blaming way, like my dog Cooper, when I say to him, what have you done, when I already know what he's done, you know, and we have that little game. No, rather in just becoming aware of how life works. In other words, what we are attempting to do is wake up a little more to the connection that already exists between my choices and the consequences that follow. And of course, not all consequences are bad. Consequences can be both positive and negative, and they're just consequences that flow from my choices. I remember reading in Donald Altman's beautiful book about the power of living a mindful life on how mindful living has something to do with owning the emotional wake behind our words and deeds. Well, I've remembered that. I don't remember the exact phrasing, but I keep thinking about that word, the wake left behind. You know, in this context, it means the waves. Yeah. The waves behind an object that is moving through the water, like a boat in this picture taken from a drone. You can see there it is. There's the wake. So it's the path that is left behind something that is passing. Like, to use a negative example, like trees destroyed in the wake of an angry storm. You and I leave a wake behind us as we move through life. Now, it doesn't have to be destructive like a storm, though. And that's where choice comes in. You know, it has been popular in times past to say such things as, well, I'm not responsible for how you think. I'm not responsible for how you react or feel. That's your choice. Turns out it's a little more complicated than that. Because of the interconnectedness of all life, the wake I leave behind me ripples out over life. So words do matter. Actions do matter. Feelings do matter. Intentions matter. All of them are creative and powerful, and they leave behind them this ever-widening ripple of influence and consequence. That's how it goes. Kevin and I were in Italy having a little vacation, and we went to Cinque Terre. I don't know if you know that place. It's a national park now. It's five small villages on the oceans. Very, very beautiful. So we decided to take a sunset boat ride so we could see the five towns from the ocean serenely. And at one point, another larger rowdy party boat approached straight for us very fast. And our captain had to act quickly. He had to turn our boat to face directly into the big waves caused by the party boat. You see, if the captain wasn't paying attention, or if he just ignored the turbulence, I guess if I exaggerate the scene, we could have been capsized, you know. So he had to turn head on, face first, into the turbulence. He couldn't just go with the flow. So our gentle sunset cruise was impacted by the wake of a fast-moving, rowdy party boat. It did make me think about the consequences of my own words, my deeds, and how they ripple out, and how they might have impact on other people. You know, am I a rowdy party boat? Sometimes. Am I an angry storm? Sometimes. Am I a gentle breeze? Am I a warm, nourishing, comforting rain? You know, when I know that, I think about that and I own that, it's going to influence the choices I make when I speak, when I act, when I allow things to be, when I promote things, when I cause things in what I create, because it turns out I am, just like you are, I am part of what I cause and create and make. You know, I take my time with you on Sunday very seriously. Oh, I spend a lot of time all week thinking about what am I going to say? Because between many of us here, there is a bond of trust. And it's been formed over many, many years, you know. So if I were to say something hateful that stirred up hateful sentiment, it's not going to be enough for me to say, oh, well, that's not my fault. It's how you took it. You're responsible for how you take it. Of course you are. And it's still foolhardy to think that we don't influence each other, especially when there is a bond of trust. Oh, I understand exactly what kind of privilege I have in my job and the responsibility I have. And why stop at work? Why not take that responsibility into home, onto social media, into relationships? You see, the way I think about it is that freedom of thought and freedom of speech does not and cannot ever free me from consequences and responsibility. I've got to admit, I make waves. Just like you. You make waves. And sometimes we have to deal with each other's turbulence. We can't ignore it. I mean, if we do, we may capsize. I can't ignore turbulence, not in my marriage, not in my community, not in my friendships, not in my work, not in my nation, not in my thoughts, not in my feelings. The safe way is not to ignore, but to turn into it head on so that the turbulent waves are neutralized or can be passed more safely. So today I want to explore some practices that can neutralize turbulent times. And there are also practices that leave a wake behind me that I can feel good about. Practices that won't turn other people's lives upside down. They're simple, but powerful. They're not to be underestimated. The first one is to practice micro meditation for the beneficial waves and consequences. When turbulence is headed my way, it is very helpful for me to turn into life and not away from it. And by that I mean to take moments to savor life just as it is and just as it is not, so that I am not capsized by trips and stumbles and falls. Dr. Claire Wheeler in Psychology Today wrote a beautiful article. It's called Micro Meditation for Maniacs. She says, when turbulence arrives, stop what you're doing and find something lovely to look at. She says in her office, she's lucky because it has a beautiful window and she can very easily see nature outside, you know, even a spider's web. But if you have no windows where you are, even a photograph or an object to look at can be suitable for this task. Then she says, gaze at the pretty thing and listen. Don't analyze. Just listen to the sounds around you. Stop listening to the voice in your head for a moment and listen to the world around you. If you catch yourself identifying or evaluating a sound, just move on to the next sound. Then, now smell. Breathe slowly and deliberately and see if you can smell anything without assessing it. And then, feel. Feel your body. Feel the air circulating around you and the support of whatever you're sitting on or standing on. And then just float for a little bit on a sea of sensory awareness, veering gently away from all your mind's attempts to categorize, assess, capture. And as you breathe, say to yourself, breathing in, just, and breathing out, be. And repeat it for a few seconds, even up to 5 minutes. Just be. And she adds at the end of the article, I can almost promise you that if you haven't meditated before, and even if you had, this could be hard at first. But I can promise you that if you try it 4 or 5 times a day, every day, it will gradually become easier. And I add, it will become a valuable tool for you to neutralize turbulence and will help you also make beneficial impact on life around you as you travel through. That's the first practice. The second practice is to check what your intuition is telling you so that you avoid choices and actions that result in undesirable consequences. Now, we learn in Science of Mind that we have a built-in guidance system. We just have to remember to use it. You know, when turbulence is headed my way, tune in to my inner navigator. And this is how you do it. Before you speak. Before you act. Before you choose, if you can, take a moment and ask yourself, what am I doing and why am I doing it? That's how you turn on the inner navigator. So in other words, you're taking time to tune in with that question to what you are feeling, because that's how the navigator speaks. You're going to take time also to tune in to what am I intending and to own that. Or another way of saying this is listen to your heart honestly, humbly, authentically. The next practice is to show up, to connect for lasting, healthy, rippling consequences, waves of connection. You know, social isolation is an epidemic in our nation. on one hand, we value radical individuality and self-reliance and autonomy. That's what it's all about. On the other hand, it turns out we do not thrive without each other. In reality, being with and around people in the flesh is medicine to our soul. That's exactly why we don't live stream our service. We want you here, in the room, breathing each other's oxygen. It turns out it's as important as good food. Exercise, spiritual practice. Now, this is the good part. You and I don't have to like each other. We don't even have to agree with each other, but apparently we do need to be around each other. So when turbulence heads your way, turn into life by showing up in your community. A study at the University of Arizona showed that having good, meaningful conversations is very good for us. Because those kind of conversations can help us sort out meaning in an otherwise pretty chaotic world. It can help us not feel alone. It can also help us expand our views and get over the waves of our own inner turbulence. That's why our Sunday evening exploration at 7 p.m. here at the center is so valuable. It's a place where you can show up and be heard and participate. That's why next year in 2020, we're starting small in-home discussion groups. That's why our grief support group is so valuable. That's why Wednesday evenings are so powerful. This Wednesday evening with our AIDS Life Cycle team wanting to thank you for their support. So powerful to just show up talking about what you believe in helps connect us. And it's important for me to add, don't force your meaningful conversations on people who don't want to have them. That's just going to make more turbulence. Turns out that just showing up, even having superficial conversations, being around people is healthy enough to prepare us to cope with turbulence. The next practice is to thrive exactly where you are, regardless of the turbulence that life brings your way. Because it seems that people often think that the right job, the right circumstance, the right this, the right that, the right politics, the right something is what's going to bring the special change that will lead to the calm waters of happiness. And I suppose there's some truth in that. It's a possibility. However, as you and I know, a rowdy, fast-moving party boat is always heading our way. And if it is, I'm still going to thrive. I may be knocked about by life now and then. I'm still going to thrive. That's the message from last week. And if you weren't here, you can go online and see it. We're talking about start where I am right here, right now, and then evaluate what are my options. And while doing that, to recite to myself, to remember that my mind is a center of creativity within the divine mind, I am here to calm the troubled waters. My life is a function of the eternal peace that has no cause. That's why I'm here. Which leads me to the next simple and beautiful practice. Smile for immediate good consequences. This is something you can practice even when you don't feel like it. It's like forgiveness work in that regard. You start even though you don't mean it. Right? The physical act of smiling generates some kind of mystical power, I've got to tell you, no doubt about it. And when practiced, it can become habit-forming. You know, I drive some of my friends crazy because I'm often, not always, but often annoyingly optimistic. Always pointing out the bright lining, pointing out the possibilities, thinking optimistically. Except when I'm depressed or unhappy or sulking or sad or mad or disappointed or frustrated or scared or worried or obsessed. Oh, you too. See, the reality is that happy people are not happy all the time. It would be odd if they were. We all experience times when we are sad, angry, disappointed, frightened, confused. Feeling pessimistic and negative now and then is normal. If, however, you and I are persistently and ongoing for a long time unhappy and depressed, it doesn't mean we're spiritual failures. It means that likely we're going through something that we can't handle by ourselves right now. And we might need help. That's normal too. Even professional help is normal. Because depression is not something that you and I can typically smile our way through. Nevertheless, smiling is valuable and it can add something beautiful to our growing process. There's an article by Mark Seibich. It's about smiling, and here he lists the benefits of smiling. He said, number one, smiling makes us attractive. We're drawn to each other when we smile. Smiling is a mood changer. Apparently, it sends subtle signals to the biology. Smiling is catchy. Did you know that people smile back at you even if they don't know why? I can't remember the exact situation, but I remember dealing with somebody at a counter, and she was very grumpy. And I was just smiling at her, and she looked up at me, and she said, "What?" And I said, "Nothing, I'm just happy." And so she said, "Well, it's annoying me." But you know she was smiling when she said it. You know, hashtag winning. Turns out smiling is also an immune system booster. Who knew? Vitamin smile. Yeah. Apparently it also reduces your blood pressure. Who knew? It releases endorphins and serotonin. So I guess it's a natural drug. So if you need a high, lock yourself in your office or in your bedroom and smile for 10 solid minutes and watch how goofy you become. And the last one on the list, it says smiling makes you look younger. I'll take it. And this reminds me that we can learn about the connection between spirituality and health on Friday at the free bookstore event that we're having right now with Jane Kennedy. Well, it's wonderful to learn about that. And it leads me to the next practice. Here it is. Nurture and care for friends for those soulful and deep lasting consequences. Make waves like that. And this one is important. Don't try not to wait until turbulent times to do this. I want to read to you from my book, Ordinary Goodness. It says, although many people may have hundreds of friends on social media, in reality, one person can nurture about 150 meaningful connections, whether that is on social media or in real life. The theoretical limit of 150 friends has become known as Dunbar's number, after the British evolutionary psychologist who reported the limit in the Journal of the Royal Society Open Sciences. It appears that we have limited resources to commit to meaningful connections. We can either spread it thinly among many or thickly among fewer people. It's likely that a person has about 5 intimate friends, twice as many excellent friends, and about 50 very good friends. Beyond that, the people in our circles are likely acquaintances. Question: how well do you know the people in your circles? Who can you go to for compassionate support? That's your homework then. Try this. Write down the names of the people you can count on to help you when there is turbulence. You know, the ones you can call anytime. Then, once you've got those names down, make a plan to connect with them. Water those plants. Feed them. And if you're having trouble making the list right now, that's all right. As we learned last week, today and every day is a new day and a new beginning, and you can practice all the other practices on this list. Start there and watch, friendships will come. Finally, and a practice that deserves a whole seminar of its own, forgive for the life-transforming consequences that it can bring to troubled times. Forgive when you can and as you can, and think of it just like the micro meditation, a little bit at a time. One of our members, Adrienne Bowes, she's reading the book The Second Mountain by David Brooks, and she does what I do. She handwrites out quotes from the book, passages that are meaningful to her. And she sent me one, I'm going to bring it to you, in her own handwriting, that to me sums up and wraps up the whole message today. I think of it as the consequence of practicing mindful wave making. I'll read it to you. When relationships are tender, when commitments are strong, when communication is pure, when the wounds of life have been absorbed and the wrongs forgiven, people bend toward each other, intertwine with one another, and some mystical combustion happens. Love emerges between people as a pure flame. I invite you to breathe in with me and to exhale into a moment of silent contemplation. In the infinity of life where I am, all is whole and perfect and complete. For the complete Spirit Almighty is present in its undiluted form. That's why I call it everywhere present. It reminds me that it is where I am and where we are. And so I sink into that ocean of pure awareness, to be refreshed and revitalized, so that I may remember to access that within me, which is the living Spirit, for my guidance, for my sustenance, for my wisdom. In this sanctity, I call into my awareness my loved ones, my friends and my family, to remember that where they are, the living Spirit is. I call into my awareness civic leaders to remember that where they are, the living Spirit is. And I open myself to life just as it is, remembering that at all times, that my mind and my heart is a center of creative possibility within the infinite field of divinity. For that I do give thanks. and I look forward to the demonstration of this love through my words and thoughts and deeds. And so it is. I invite you to breathe in deeply with me and to sigh. We use the movement of breath to make the transition to our practice called circulation. I invite the ushers to stand. Won't you please take your gift in your hand? And if you gave electronically, place your open hand on your chest as a heart connection to your practice of giving. And say after me, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It does amazing work in the world. And so it is. Ushers, please receive the gift.